Well, what a privilege to be in God's house this morning. Now, I know, you know, we use that metaphor of God's house. This is a place that is especially dedicated to the service of the King. It's especially dedicated to growing in our relationship with God and to know Him and to grow to know Him better. During this month of August, we're really focusing in on prayer, and we have four different speakers who are sharing about prayer. Plus, we're having people from the congregation do testimonies about what they're learning in prayer. And so we feel like that, you know, the multiplicity of perspectives just gives, it shines the light like a diamond, the different facets. So I'm really looking forward to John sharing this morning. He is a good friend and a great communicator. I asked Emma a couple weeks ago, Emma, would you be willing to share about what God is teaching you in prayer? And she said, yeah, I really think I have something to share. So Emma, come on up. Really, really glad to hear from you.
Hi, good morning, everybody. So for those of you that don't know, I grew up in this church. I was born in the area. I attended the kids' church here. It used to be called CORE. For those of you that haven't grown up in a church, it's very different than if you come into Christianity in adulthood or adolescence. God is something that is pretty much like gravity. You can't see Him. You have no physical proof that they're there, but everybody tells you it's true, so it's definitely true. Being a little kid, you don't really understand quite what Christianity is about. And so things that seem normal acts of Christianity are a little bit more like routines, especially prayer. It's kind of like talking to a person you don't know. And that's very, very strange for a little kid. But it's very, very routine. You know, you wake up in the morning, you pray. You pray as you go to school. You pray when you eat your food. And you pray when you go to bed. And that's just how it is. So when I was little, prayer was not something that was definitely talking to someone who would respond to you. I did pray, of course. I did believe in the power of prayer, but it wasn't something definite. I mean, one time when I was little, I prayed for it to rain on a Tuesday, and it did. So not sure if that was a coincidence or not, but there was that. My real first interaction with a God that is tangible happened when I was in seventh grade. Middle school is a very difficult time for a lot of people. People are trying to figure out who they are, what they're doing, are they individual, are they wanting to be like a group? And I had a very, very terrible experience. In seventh grade, I got migraines. And for those of you who know how migraines feel, it's not something anybody should be feeling. Any light, any noise, any movement rendered me completely useless. I was in agony most of the time. I was almost impossible to wake up in the mornings, and I had to skip school for 2 months straight. So that was detrimental to my grades, to my health, and to my relationships with my family and friends. It was definitely a horrible, horrible time. And we were praying for this, but of course, we went to doctors. We went to everywhere from children's hospitals all the way up to professional neurologists. They couldn't figure out where it came from. They couldn't figure out how to fix it, and we had no idea what to do. So I just kind of sat there in this state of apathy, and I didn't really believe that I could be cured. It was just something that I had gotten used to. But one Wednesday night, I was in the youth group. I went to Driven. My mom pulled me out of bed, and it was a particularly bad day, I remember. And she said, "You're going to Driven tonight." And I was not feeling well, so I thought, no, I don't really want to go. But she was insistent, which was rare. And she said, "No, you're definitely going tonight." So I went, a little reluctantly. The missionaries, the BBs, had come from Palau, and they told us the story about a hostage situation they were in. And it really was an incredible, incredible story. But being the selfish teenager I was like, this is great. It doesn't really have much to do with me or my situation. So at the end, we were going through the act of prayer, and it was almost the end of service. And the BB said, "Hold on, before we finish up the service, we feel that there is a person here who is suffering from migraines, and we'd like to come up and pray with her." And my first thought was, oh my gosh, that's me. I was so stunned. I couldn't believe that someone had actually heard. So I was talking to my mom, like, who told them? Is that me? Are they talking about me? And she goes, yes, yes, go up there. No one's told them. It's from God. And I go up there, and I pray with them. And I don't remember the specifics of what they said, but I do remember the end. And they said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be healed." boom, the migraines were gone, never came back. And it was astounding to me to feel this incredible relief. Thank you. It was wonderful. And that's when I learned right then and there three things. First one of all, God heals. A lot of people hear about miracles and people, you know, being fixed from whatever injuries or illnesses they have, but they figure, oh, that was just in the Bible, or oh, that's in some far off country. It can't possibly happen to me. But I'm a living testimony that it does happen in this age and this time, and God will heal you. The second thing is that God listens. If God didn't listen, God wouldn't know that I had migraines. And in my spiritual life now, I talk to God as if I talk to a friend. And I just tell him everything you would tell your best friend about your day. I tell him when I'm having a hard time at school. I tell him when I'm nervous, when I'm afraid, when I'm worried, because I know that I have a God who listens to me. And the third thing, and probably the most important thing that I've learned, is that God cares. And this is extremely important to know, because if God didn't care, nothing would happen in our lives. But miracles happen every single day, and that is what I'm thankful for.
Amen. Well, we could leave right now. We could be done. That was fantastic, Emma. It was, make my job harder there, huh? Come up after that. That was fantastic. Great word. I'm so glad you're here today. Glad you came out to be with us. A couple things here. Get set up here, ready to go. First of all, my name is John. Last name is Fox, and it's a delight to be with you today. I always count it a privilege when someone asks me to speak from the Bible, because I think the Bible, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It tells us everything we need to know. And I think that is one of the most important things we can look at every single day. Second of all, I want to tell the Bible scholars here today, those of you out there that love the Bible, and we all do, I hope, that my sermon is really backloaded today with Bible verses in the second half of it. So don't worry, they're coming. They're going to come fast and furious, but don't worry, they're coming. So they're towards the second half, just so you know that. And then I'd like to also thank a couple of people. Pastor Scott, who preached last week, he did a sermon on the Ten Commandments, which was fantastic. And this is another thing we're going to look at today, another way to pray. He gave us one, which I think was great. And this is a different one. And also, Pastor Steve mentioned 2 weeks ago in his sermon how prayer was a discipline. And when he said that, this was where this sermon was kind of born in my heart. And so I want to tell you a little bit about it and what we're going to do today. So here's where we're going with this sermon. It's going to be kind of a little different one for you. First of all, I want to tell you about something I stumbled into last summer. It's one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life. I have a friend, a very good friend, one of my best friends. His name is Mitch Craig. In fact, Mitch is here today. Mitch came because he heard I was going to talk about this sermon today. And Mitch is right down in front with his wife and some friends he brought with him. He's my very good friend. And Mitch is, he came to me last summer and he said, hey, we're getting older. You know, we crossed the 50 line here. And Mitch said, hey, would you be interested in working out and lifting weights for a couple days a week in the summer? And I thought, that would be awesome. I would love to do that. And we decided we would lift weights on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, we weren't going to lift weights to become big, giant, you know, muscle-bound people. We were going to lift weights to get in shape and to be toned and ready to go. So we were just in better shape. So I said, yes, I would love to do that. And I felt privileged because here's the deal about my friend Mitch. Mitch is my friend Mitch, but Mitch is also Coach Mitch. Mitch is the diving coach at Bothell High School and also the gymnastic coach in Bothell High School. He has been there for over 30 years. He is an amazing coach. He has won several state titles. This last year, he was inducted into the Bothell High School Hall of Fame. He is an outstanding coach. And so I thought, man, if this guy is going to be my coach and on my side and help me to get in shape, this is going to be a really cool thing. And so not only is he a great coach, he's also a wonderful Christian man. So I knew he would have a great time doing this, and I knew it would be beneficial to me. Also, what happened, so here's the other deal that happened, one of the other most smart things I ever did. The first day that we worked out, we did our weightlifting. I went home after that, and I talked to my son, Austin, who was 14 at the time. He's 15 now. And I said, hey, would you like to lift weights with us? And I thought he would just blow me off and go, I'm not going to hang out with a couple 50-year-old guys. There's no way I'm going to do that. But to my amazement, he said, yes, I would like to do that. And so my son started joining us and lifting with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we did that last summer. We've done it this summer, and every Tuesday and Thursday from 2:30 to about 4:15, we work out and we lift weights. Now, when my son joined us, it was a very important thing to me for a couple reasons. Number one, I believe this is true. If you have a young person, this is really important in their lives. Young people need adult friends who are not their parents. It's really, really important. That's why we have a youth group at our church, so that young people can be with adults, our youth pastors and their helpers. Because you know what's interesting? Mitch says the exact same things to my son that I say, but he's not me. He's Mitch. He's Coach Mitch. And my son will listen to Coach Mitch. In fact, this is interesting to me. My son is here in the 9:30 service because Coach Mitch asked him to be here. I can never get him to come to the early service, man. But when Coach Mitch says come, he's here. He's like out of bed, ready to go. So he's here this morning. And so it's really great that you can have your young person hear things from people that are adults and that know kind of the same thing you do, but it's a different voice. So let me describe for you real quick, and just hang on with me. This is going somewhere, okay? We're going to get somewhere in this sermon here. But let me describe for you a little bit of what our workout is like. So we have, and let's see if I got there. We got up on the screen here. So we work with weights, and so we have something that looked like that. And basically what we're up to now is we work out with about 80 pounds on the bar. And so what happens is this. So Austin and I and Mitch, we go into Mitch's garage, we have the bench press, we do 4 sets of 10 of a whole bunch of stuff. So we start out with that barbell right there, and we do 4 sets of 10 of bench presses. So I do 10, then Mitch gets in there, he does 10, then Austin does 10, and then we rotate again, and so we do 4 sets of those. So then we take the barbells, and we lift them, we go out wide, and we do 4 more sets of 10 with the 80 pounds. And then we take the bench, and we raise it up, and we elevate the bench, and we do 4 more sets of those. So now we're into it about 120 of these reps, so we're working out hard, and going, and going, and going. Then what we do is we do some curls, and so we back it off a little bit, we go 50 pounds on there, and so we do 4 sets of 10 here. And then Coach Mitch got the bright idea that we should do other things too while we're doing this so you don't get to rest, you know, and so he made it worse. And so instead of just doing your curls, now while you're doing this, while you're not on that, you're doing 4 sets of 10 push-ups. And so you're doing those. And then after you do that, we get these smaller barbells that look like this. There we go. And then we're doing curls this way, and we do 4 sets of 10 of those. And then we do them this way, and we're doing 4 sets of those. And then we do these, and we do 4 sets of those. And then he came up with a great idea. We should do jumping jacks in between those. So now we're up to like 500 jumping jacks in between these things, you know. And so we do that, and after he kills us doing all this stuff, then we go, we do some sit-ups. So we do with three, I don't know why he did 3 sets on this, but we do 3 sets of 25 on the sit-ups. And then we do the absolute worst thing of all, which my son and I hate. He has a pull-up bar. And you go to the pull-up bar and you do 3 sets of however many you can do. And by the time you've done all this stuff and you go to this thing, you're just dying. But it's a great workout and we have lots of fun. And we've just gotten stronger. And what's interesting to me, I am stronger than I ever have been in my whole life. I'm 54 years old, but my arms, I am just stronger than I've ever been. When we started doing pull-ups, I could do about 3. And I ripped off 13 the other day, just boom. And so I've gotten a lot stronger and I like it. But here's what's so cool about our time spending lifting weights. And that's this. When my son is with us, we talk about all kinds of things. Mitch and I, with him, we talk about family relationships, and he hears all that stuff that we talk about. We talk about God and what we think about God, and he hears all that stuff. We talk to Austin about girls and how they should be treated. We talk to Austin about money. We talk to him about staying away from things like drugs. We give him a hard time, Austin and Mitch and I. We have a lot of fun. The other day, this is a good one, Mitch brought up, he said to Austin, you know, hey, When you're older, when you're our age, then you might have to help spot us on the weights a little bit, you know, when we're doing this. And then Mitch and I did the math, and we figured out when Austin's our age, we'll be 94. he's going to have to really spot us, you know. It's going to be pretty interesting, you know. And then something else happened the other day that I really liked, and this is why I love having Mitch around my son, is Austin was doing a weight thing, and he said, I can't do it. And Mitch stopped. He said, oh, my ears are burning. I heard a swear word. I heard the word can't. We don't say can't. We say I'm not able to do it at this time. And I thought, that's a great line. I like that coming out of Coach Mitch's mouth. It helps my son to be a better man. And then what's really fun is this. And Coach Mitch is a very smart man. But when it comes to doing your reps and counting to 10, he can't count a lick. He's horrible. Like, my son's out there just groaning. He's number 8. And Mitch goes, 4 more. And my son, 4 more? That would be 12, you know. It's like, 4 more, do 4. So he's always getting extra reps, my son, because Mitch will lie to him all the time and tell him that how many he's done. And then what's really fun, when you get good at it and you rip off your 10, Coach Mitch will go, now you got a bonus, do 2 more. And it's like, I don't want a bonus. I don't need a bonus. I'm tired of this. This is horrible. But that's what our weightlifting is like, and I love it because it puts me with one of my great friends, it puts me with my son, and I develop this discipline in my life. And here's what I've learned. I am probably as strong as I have ever been, and the more I do it, the stronger I become. And I want to translate that line over to prayer. Here it is. The more time you spend in prayer with God, the stronger you will become. And not so much physically, but spiritually in your life with the Lord. And that is really, really important. We're going to look today, and we're going to use this book. We have been using this book, Too Busy Not to Pray, in our study of prayer. And we're going to use it. And the outline, I want to give credit, it comes from this book. So I took it right from there, and we're going to go through it. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer and relate it to my weightlifting experience. So here we go. I thought I maybe bring some weights with me. And Mitch was telling me to bring some, but I thought, you know, if I rip some of those, my shirt might explode, and you might, I mean, look at that. So I thought I better not bring the real weights. So we just brought the pretend ones here. But here's the first point we want to make about the sermon today. When we're going to pray, we're going to use this little template. It's just this little acrostic, and it's the acrostic ACTS, A-C-T-S. It stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And those are four things that you can pray through in your prayer life, a little discipline, a little set that you can use to do that. So the first one we're talking about today is adoration. Now, here's the deal. When you get ready to pray, just like lifting weights, you need to prepare yourself. When we get ready to lift weights out in Mitch's gym every Tuesday and Thursday, we get the weights out. We put them on the bar. We have lots of bottles of water because we get really thirsty. We have some sweat towels because we sweat. Mitch has a certain pair of lifting gloves he likes. So we prepare and we get ready to do the lifting. And that's really important. And it's the same way with prayer. When you get ready to pray, you kind of need to prepare your heart so you're ready to do that. So let me throw some things at you. Adoration is one of the best things you can do to prepare yourself to pray. Adoration kind of sets the tone for prayer. It keeps the main thing the main thing. And when we say adoration, what you're doing is you're telling God kind of who he is and being thankful for who he is. God is the main thing when we are praying. If we went to get ready to lift weights on Tuesdays and Thursdays and we didn't use the weights, it would be kind of pointless. We'd look pretty stupid out there laying on the bench doing this because the weights is what makes the whole thing work. And if we decided to pray, it'd be kind of dumb to pray if we weren't praying to God, the one who made us, created us, and loves us. So we got to keep the main thing the main thing, and adoration does that. Adoration also reminds you of God's identity and who he is. The older I get, the more I realize how needy I am towards God. God made everything. God made the air that you breathe, the water you drink, the food that you eat, the gravity that holds you onto this planet. God made everything. And to tell him as you get ready to pray, God, I am thankful for what you have done for me, kind of keeps everything in perspective. It keeps your life in the right space. Because we need to realize, and I think you do, that you are a small little being when it comes to God. God is bigger than you, and so we need his help all the time. It kind of keeps the identity of God, adoration. Adoration also purifies the one who is praying. It brings focus into your life. And focus is really important. When we are out there lifting weights, you know, when we're really getting after it and I'm kind of getting tired, I don't think about anything else. I want to keep my mind focused on the weights because if I don't, number one, I could drop it and hurt myself, but I want to just keep it really focused. I'm not worrying about my cell phone when I'm lifting weights or something else. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you give God adoration, it kind of keeps you really focused in where your life should be. And also adoration tells God that he is worthy. And Bible scholars, here come the Bible verses. Here we go. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, and I'm using the New International Version today. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You are made by God, and he is worthy of our prayer and praise. Psalms chapter 8, and I'm going to read you the whole thing this morning. It's not a long one, but it says this in our adoration to God. It says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and animal and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name. It is important that we tell God who he is when we get ready to pray, so it keeps ourselves and our lives into perspective. So adoration, that first thing there. Number two, the second thing that'll help you is the letter C, confession. What is confession? It's telling God what you have done wrong. Who is a sinner? I am a sinner. You are a sinner. We have all done wrong. I wish we hadn't, but it's who we are. We are tempted and we do things that are wrong sometimes, and we need to make sure that we tell God when we do what is wrong. It says this in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, the only thing you'll ever do wrong is to not ever tell God that you've done wrong and just, you know, brush it under the carpet. That's not a good thing to do. And so the best thing to do, and sometimes we in church, we people that go to church a lot, sometimes we're like, well, you know, I did something wrong, and I don't know how to deal with that. Maybe I'm embarrassed because other people will think funny of me. You should never feel that way because we all do things wrong. And the best thing you can do is to go to God and say, hey, man, I messed up. God, forgive me. That's the greatest thing you can do, is stand up and do it, you know, and to say, God, I need your help. You know, when I miss a weightlifting session, I don't just go, well, I just quit. I'm done. But I keep doing it. And I keep going to God, and I keep asking him for my help. And we all sin, we all fall short, so let God know when you do wrong, because that kind of cleanses and cleans out all the stuff in your life. What is sin? It's just simply doing what's not right. You know, what's interesting about Coach Mitch, when we're lifting weights, he will never, ever, ever let Austin and I cheat. You know, when we're doing our sets, sometimes we forget, are we on set two or on set three? And he's like, we're on two. Because we're never going to cheat ourselves. We might get a bonus, but we're not ever going to cheat. And so he never lets us mess up that way. And that's the great thing with God. God keeps us on the right track, and he helps us doing what's the right thing, and that's really, really important. And when you do sin, when you do fall short with God, be specific with him. Don't just say, God, well, I'm sorry for all the stuff that I do wrong. You know, gentlemen, when you mess up with your wife and you do something, when you say something you shouldn't, you get in trouble, does she want to hear, oh, I'm sorry for all this? She wants to hear the specific thing that you did wrong when you apologize. And so tell God the specific thing. Be that. That's very important. The benefits of telling God when you do something wrong. Man, it is liberating when you mess up to get rid of that junk in your life and to ask God for forgiveness. Psalms chapter 103, verse 12 says, as far as from the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And now that you've told God that you've sinned and asked him to help you, don't do it again. God will help you to stay away from the things that you do wrong in your life. We all have things we struggle with. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." God will change you, and if you confess what you've done wrong to him, your life is in better shape, and you're ready to pray. The third thing, we're moving right along here, is thanksgiving, the letter T. Always give thanks to God for what he's done for you. Psalms chapter 103, verse 2 says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18. And I told you they come fast and furious. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." When it comes to weightlifting, I am glad that my coach is stronger than me. Coach Mitch has about 15 to 17 pounds on me, weight-wise, and it's all muscle. He's not a fat guy. He's a strong guy. He can do more bench presses than I can. He can do more push-ups than I can. He can do more pull-ups than I can. I like that because my coach is stronger than me. And when I go to God, he is bigger, he is stronger than me, and I need to thank him for all that he does for me. I am thankful that I get to spend time with him, and that is so important. I'm so thankful during the summers that I get to spend time with my friend Mitch and especially my son Austin, because we have such great times together and I can spend time with them. And I have this specific time that I do spend with them. It's one of my favorite times of my week. But the great thing about God is that I can spend time with him anytime. I don't have to schedule a certain time. I don't have to be at a certain place. Whenever I need God, I can ask him to be with me, and so I can thank him because he's there and available all the time, every second of every day, and that is awesome. The fourth thing today, and we're just about finished today, is number four, supplication. What does supplication mean? That's when you get down to asking God for his help. So if we've done these three things, if we've shown God adoration, we confessed our sins, we've given him thanksgiving, then man, you're ready to go. Then you're ready to ask. So God is just willing and ready for you to ask him for help. In this book, when we got to this part, the supplication part, the guy who wrote this book, Bill Hybel, said it better than I ever could. So I just want to read you a quote from him when it comes to asking God for things. Here's what he wrote. And so listen carefully. "If you have adored God, confessed your sins, and thank him for all of his good gifts, you're ready to tell him what you need. Nothing is too big for God to handle or too small for him to be interested in. Still, I wonder if my requests are legitimate, so I'm honest with God. I say, Lord, I don't know if I have the right to ask for this. I don't know how I should pray about this, but I lift it to you, and if you'll tell me how to pray, I'll pray your way." God honors that kind of prayer. James 1 verse 5 says, "If anyone of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Other times when I think I know how to pray, I say, "God, this is my heart on the matter, and I'd really like you to do this. But if you have other plans, far be it from me to get in the way. You've asked me to make my request known, and that's what I'm going to do. But if what I'm asking for isn't a good gift, if the timing isn't right, if I'm not ready to receive it, no problem. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts higher than my thoughts. If you have different plans, we'll go your way." And that's a great message there. So in conclusion, as we look at our little template that helps us discipline ourselves to pray, I want to just share this. When Austin agreed to lift weights with Mitch and I, it's interesting to me that he kind of put himself out there. He took the challenge because here's the thing. Right now, Mitch and I are still stronger than Austin. Now, what's interesting, Austin has come miles from last summer. He is now lifting the same things we do, and it isn't going to be too long that Austin's going to go flying by me. It's going to take him a little longer to catch up to Mitch, but he's getting stronger all the time. When Austin agreed to spend time with Mitch and I, Mitch and I are smarter than Austin right now, just because we're older. We've been around longer. And so he's going to catch up, though. He's already getting really smart. But he agreed to put himself out there. And I'm so glad that he did, because he put himself in a place, Austin did, that not only would he get stronger physically, but he would get smarter. He would just learn a lot of stuff, and he would grow and become a man. And I'm so glad that he did that. And when he spends time with me, it is my favorite time that he spends with me. And there is nothing I would rather do than those specific hours of those weeks. And I am disappointed when it doesn't happen, but it's an incredibly important time to me because I watch my son grow as a man. And you know what? God is the same way. I think and I believe that God feels the same way about you and I that I feel about my son when he spends time with me. You know, when you choose time to spend with God, I believe it's one of his favorite times of the day. And I know that there's lots of people that pray throughout the day, so he has lots of those times. But you are special to him because God made you and he created you. And I believe God loves to spend time with you. I think he looks forward to it. And I think God is disappointed when you don't show up sometimes. And I think he loves it when you do. So here's my challenge to you today. We've talked about this little template, Acts. So this week, I'd like you to use that template. Spend some time in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, asking God for some things. I have some homework for you I'm going to give you. Here's what I'd like you to do. I think prayer changes things, and Emma did a fantastic job of sharing with us a great thing that happened to her. So here's my homework for you today. As you're praying this week, I want you to pray about many things. You have many needs, but I want you to pray about one thing specifically. I have a next-door neighbor, and my next-door neighbor, they're very private people, so I'm not going to tell you their name, but they came to me the other day. They're having a baby. In fact, they had a baby this last week, but their baby came at 25 weeks. The baby is incredibly early, and they are living at Evergreen Hospital in Kirkland now. The baby probably, if all things go well, will not come home until November. So I told my friend, who I don't think believes in God at all, that I would pray for him. And so I have been the last couple weeks here. And I am going to ask you to pray for him too and his wife. They're very nice people, but they need God to touch their baby because the baby is so small, so young, and has to develop so much more. So I want you to pray for them. That's one of your homework things that I'd like you to do. And then I'd like you to specifically find a time that you can spend some time with the Lord this week. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Steve. He's going to close the service and pray for us.
Boy, thanks, John. I'd like the worship team to come on up. It was just so encouraging hearing that practical comparison between the discipline of doing the weights and the discipline of doing prayer. And it makes it so plastic and so real, so solid for us. One of the things that I encouraged you to do 2 weeks ago was to join what I call the 20-day challenge for prayer, to commit to praying for 5 days a week for the 4 weeks in August for 10 minutes at least, the same place at the same time. And a lot of you said that you were going to do that, that you were going to move into that discipline. And I know some have emailed back and said, boy, it's been really tough. I don't know how it's going for you, but I just want to keep that challenge out in front. Maybe you haven't started yet, but it could be kind of like what John was saying. They have the Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's the same time every week. That discipline helps them to grow in their, you know, their physical being. The same thing, for me, it's been, like I told you in the email, it's every morning, 6 o'clock, in the corner chair of our living room, and kneeling down there and praying for that 10 minutes or longer. And I've been using the Acts acrostic often. It really makes it so easy to remember. go to adore the Lord and then confess my sins and then thank him and then move into supplication. And so let's do it. On your takeaways, on your card, there's just simply, it says, I'll focus on this area of prayer this week. And I know it would be really easy to just check them all. But maybe there's one that God's calling you in particular to, where you say, man, that, yeah, I really want to focus on confession. I really want to focus on thanking him. Maybe that you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Christ. And so prayer has been something that you've done sometimes because there's been a sense of need and you've said, oh God, help me now. But maybe you never actually said yes to him as far as being the Lord of your life. And that's what he died for. That's what he came for, is to actually save you and to change you from the inside out. It may be that this morning also you might say, man, prayer has been such a struggle. It's just been such a struggle. I need God's help. And so I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes and not look around for a moment. If you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I've never given my life to Christ, but I really want to take that step this morning, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Okay, yep, there's one. Lord, I pray for this brother. Lord, I know that he has such a desire in his heart to do it right. And I pray, oh God, come alongside of him now and just envelop him with your love and your grace and your mercy and give him that confidence in his heart of hearts that he's a child of God, because I know that he has asked you to be his Lord before, but he needs that confidence this morning. How about some of you who would say, man, I've struggled so much with prayer. I want to make it more a part of my life. I want to make it a discipline of my life. And you just want God's help with that. Would you raise your hand? Okay. A lot of you. Lord, help us this week. Help us to do it. Help us to come alongside of us and make it real, make it alive for us in a new way like we've never experienced it before, maybe. Just that you are there and let our prayers rise up to you and let us connect with you and give us a discipline this week like we haven't experienced it before. Give us a time to pray every day at the same time, at the same place. Just say, we're going to do it. We're going to meet with you.